And I believe we are even jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt. With a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, we don't take any time off here on Coach Dave Live because we are officially a what's the word they say? We are officially a global show now. We have people that listen to us in Peru, the United Kingdom. I hear from people in Germany. I hear from people in Australia. New Zealand, I don't even know where that is, but they watch us. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there ain't no Memorial Day in New Zealand. So they didn't take the day off. And if they're not going to take the day off, I'm not going to take the day off. And we find out who the real guys are here, who has to sleep in here on Monday morning. I'm up and at them bright and early. Got my new hat on today. I just thought I would wear that in honor of all those guys who as Abraham Lincoln died, who here gave their lives that this nation might live. Many of them did it. I don't take it lightly. And even though we've reached a point in America today where I don't, the American military isn't necessarily a good thing. It can be used for good. But we haven't really won a war since 1945 because the purpose of the United States military is not to fight and win wars and bring liberty at home and abroad. It is to advance, sadly, just telling you the truth, it's to advance another agenda that's going on. But I honor military guys. I honor those who serve. I don't besmirch their service. I just pray that they remember the Nuremberg trials, that they would, the whole thesis of the Nuremberg trials is you don't follow an order if it's an ungodly order. You don't do that. By the way, that comes out of Romans 13, which... I could run down that trail again. And the excuse that they tried to make in the Nuremberg trials was that, well, we were just following orders. And the conclusion that came out of the Nuremberg trial is you're smarter than that. You know right from wrong. And when they give you an order that's ungodly, unrighteous, you're not to follow that order, which falls right in line, by the way, with the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. At some point, you got to stand up and say, nope, ain't doing that. Sorry. Sorry. And here's really the burden that we have to jump over here in America. And I'm speaking to, excuse me, Christian guys that are watching this right now. And there are a lot of them. Hey, guys, if we think that we're going to reclaim this nation, if we think, first of all, I don't even know if that's possible because the judgment of God is upon us. But I've made the determination that I'm going to go down fighting, standing up for my children and my grandchildren. If we think that we're going to be able to advance the kingdom of God on this earth without sacrifice, without it costing something. So I'm thinking about two guys who stand in a boxing ring and box against each other. Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. You have any idea training those guys? You understand? You have any idea what it cost each one of those guys just to even be able to step into that ring? You have any idea what they felt like after the fight was over? Do we have any idea? Do you have any idea what it's like to be Tom Brady for the New England Patriots? He's almost 40 years old. To stand in that pocket and have guys run at you at a speed that we can't even imagine for as big as they are and crash you from the backside. I was reading somewhere along the line that Tom Brady sometimes can't even practice till Wednesday. He's so bruised and beaten. I remember Archie Griffin, the only two-time Heisman Award winner. Every time I see Archie, I tell him that. I said, there's been 46 presidents and only one two-time Heisman Award winner, brother, and you're it. I don't know Archie Wobb, I know Archie. But do you know that Archie Griffin, after a game at Ohio State University, game to be played on Saturday, he didn't do anything except be in the whirlpool till Tuesday afternoon. Did you know that? See, I don't know why we here in Christianity, first of all, we don't understand it's the spiritual war, but the spiritual war plays out in the natural realm. And we don't realize that there are casualties. Folks, every casualty that occurs in the spiritual battle occurs in the natural realm. What's going to take us? See, when the scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, don't you understand that those evil spirits cause calamity in the natural world, that there's a natural price to be paid in this spiritual world. I don't even get why we can't see that. We could talk about rape. We could focus right in on rape for a minute. Say, boy, that's demonic for somebody to rape somebody else. Or this guy just down in Mississippi who killed eight people, including a cop, and said afterwards, I don't deserve to live. What I did is so horrible. We don't understand this. Whatever happened to that guy, whether it be demonic or whatever, he goes out and he kills eight people. If it's a spiritual issue, it shows up in the natural realm. We don't see that. That a woman who gets raped, driven, some guy driven by pornography or driven by whatever, driven by some type of demon, shows up and physically assaults her and rapes her. We don't understand that what happens in the spiritual realm shows up in the natural realm. And we don't understand that the Lord has warned us that we wrestle because we wrestle not against the flesh and blood and the principalities and powers, that wrestling place is taking place in the spiritual realm, that realm around us that we can't see, but it has natural consequences. Pornography has natural consequences, folks. Huh? Sure it does. Huh? Yes. Lust has consequences. Love of food has physical consequences. And to think that we can only spiritualize our battles and think it just occurs in the heavenlies, that's it. My goodness. My goodness. So I bring this to you today because, man, have I been under attack. Listen, I want you to know, it don't bother me, okay? I think it's important to you this morning that I show you something, try to connect some dots. Before I connect those dots, I got to tell you a quick story. And I appreciate Alan out there. Alan listens to the show. He knows that he sent me an email. Remember I was talking to you the Thursday about the skunks? Is that Thursday or Friday? I was talking to you about the little skunks, the cute little skunks running around my yard. I said, hey, I got to get rid of them. You know, I can't have this. And they were too cute. They looked like little kittens. I couldn't kill those skunks, man. I'm not that mean. I'd rather board a baby than kill a skunk. Not really, but that's where most of us are. My microphone's flapping around today. Well, so I got up. I lost track of days because we're on the weekend. I got up Friday morning, I think it was, and I said, that's it. Those little skunks are out there. I'm going to take them for a ride. So went out. There they were. Only three of them, though. I don't know where the fourth one was. So I went out there and got me a snow shovel, and I got a big old box, and I picked them up, and I threw them into the box. And as soon as they got inside that box, they did their thing. They squirted, whatever they did. I would go to get them. They're only about this big. I would go to get them, and that little tail would come up back, and I knew he was trying to squirt, but he couldn't squirt. He's just dropping it right into the box. Oh, my God, was that putrid. But, you know, boom, I'd throw them in there. I got three of them. I couldn't find them, so I pick them up. I carry them about half a mile down the road, and I drop them off in the woods, take them in there, say, go in there and live. I'll give you a chance to live. You go on in there. And because remember I told you, listen to me. You better drain the swamp, baby. And I'm talking about the swamp of your own life. And there's some of you out there that are rubbing the skunks and loving on the skunks because they're just they're so cute right now. I'm going to tell you, they are going to turn around and they're going to crap on you. You hear me? I got those skunks that smell so bad in that big box I got them in. I carry them down. I throw them into the woods. Half a mile away from, I think the mom's living under a shed that we have. So I get up one of those mornings. What morning was it? Well, yes, it was Saturday morning, wasn't it? Because I got rid of them on Friday morning. On Saturday morning, I walk out. My daughter's jogging out in front of the house. She yells up, Dad, here's those skunks. I'm thinking, what? Here are those skunks. I said, oh, you're kidding me. So I said, I gave him a chance. I did. I tried to do the moral righteous thing here. I walked in the house and I grabbed the .22. And I walked down the street and there they were, two of those little fluffy things. They looked like little kittens playing in there together and pop, 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 pop. And they were no longer alive. Killed them all. Killed them right where they were. Because I knew it was going to be problems if I didn't. Oh, they stunk so bad when I shot them. Man, there's only two of them. So yesterday, then my neighbor drives by. He sees that I've shot him. He says, hey, listen, those things have rabies. Skunks carry rabies. You can't just leave those there. Gotta burn them. He said, I'll do it. So he took them. He went and burned them, these little things. And this will make right wing watch probably. Stay with me. So then the next day I'm out. I wasn't home. My wife and I were out picking up some things for, you know, whatever. And My daughter again, Dad, there's two skunks under my car. Well, I'm in Columbus. I'm 45 minutes away. All right, honey. Think if they're there, I'll take care of those two when I get home too. So I go, I get home. There they are. I said, all right, go and get my friendly 22. Go out there, pop, 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 pop. Now they're dead. I take them, put them in a box, take them over my burn pile, set the thing on fire, I burn them. They go, well, I don't feel too guilty trying to drain the swamp here. I tried to give them every warning. And then I know you know what happened next, right? You know what happened next, don't you? There's a lesson for us here, folks. You hear me? There's a lesson here. You know what happened next? Yep. Daisy, my dog, goes out and rolls in it. She goes out and rolls where I have killed them. And it stinks so badly. Even in their death, of skunks get you. Daisy comes back because she wants to come in the house, right? She wants to come walk in the house and lay up on the couch, go get, lay on the bed. She, you know, she wants to, huh? Michelle washed her four times yesterday. I think she made it okay. We tried tomato juice. We tried peroxide. Michelle found all these remedies. We think last night we finally got that smell out of her. What are you saying, Coach? Here's what I should have done. The very beginning, I should have shot them the minute I saw them, and I should have taken them off someplace and buried them. Should have done it, and I didn't. Because in my Christian love for these skunks, they got me. Anybody with me? Roger, you know what I'm talking about? Huh? In my Christian love for trying to be humane to these skunks, they got me. They got it.
Dave?
Yeah.
I think we do a pretty fair job in the morning here talking about rebuking sin. But maybe sometimes you got to go further.
Brother, you got to kill it, don't you? You got to kill it.
Harsh, but the mere rebuking and wrath leaves it in a part, leaves it around us and in our culture to do damage, and it does.
And you know what, Roger? What are skunks known for?
Not much.
They're known for their smell, aren't they? They're known for their smell. And I'm smart enough to know that those four little things that I'm letting, because they look like kittens, they look harmless, those four little things are going to end up stinking to high heaven. And they did. I learned a lesson. Alan, thank you. Alan sent me that and said, you better get rid of it. You better drain the swamp. Better drain the swamp, Alan told me. So I drained it this morning. I don't feel like a murderer, even though those at Right Wing Watch want to tell me that I am. I want to take you on a, I want to give you a little lesson here today. I was talking about something earlier before that I forgot. What was I talking about? Because it led me in. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Stay with me. Here we go. Hey, you coming to boot camp? I hope you're coming to the boot camp. Because remember, nothing wrong with being afraid. Something wrong with staying afraid. That's right. And I'm going to show you right now here on my computer how the enemy works. Now, remember I was going to talk about the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center. I'm doing that this week. I'm going to do it tomorrow. But since it's a Monday and most people are sleeping in, I thought, I'll wait. I'm going to start it tomorrow. But I'm going to show you some stuff that we better wake up and understand, okay? I don't know what you feel about Facebook. I use Facebook. I use Facebook because that's where the world is, okay? That's where everybody is. Everybody's on Facebook. Now, I'm not one of those guys that goes on Facebook cooking hamburgers outside today. I mean, I don't do that kind of stuff. Anytime I put something on Facebook, I hope it has an impact. That's why I put it there. And our shows are streamed a lot on Facebook. And so there are some who get to watch our shows on Facebook. This weekend has been unbelievable. It's Right Wing Watch and they're wicked. Whoever's the enemy, they're the enemy for sure. Yes, the Lord has enemies. Yes, the Lord has enemies. They've been in a frontal assault at me. And you have to realize this, folks. That is their modus operandi. That is their method of operation. See, what they want to do, they come onto my Facebook page. I post a show, and they come on our Facebook page, and then they do nothing except they're skunks. They squirt all over my Facebook page. Now, understand, their purpose of spraying all over the Facebook page is they want to get it on you. And they want you to say, that coach stinks. Woo! Smell that coach. Woo! Woo! And all of these trolls end up on my Facebook page, and they're squirting everywhere. And you know what happens? You got it. Scared Christians run from the fight. They don't want to get engaged in the fight, scaredy Christians. Or softy Christians who like to say, well, yeah, he does. He is kind of crazy, that coach. So I'm going to show you some stuff here on Facebook because, listen, here's where the battle is lying. And we are missing out, folks. Listen to me. We're missing out. Those of you who are watching this show, when this, hey, Sarge, you monitor this stuff, right, Sarge? Jump in here a second, Sarge, if you're there.
I do.
I'm not making this up, am I, Sarge?
Nope.
It's been unbelievable. And I'm going to take you, Jared. Maybe you can pull up my Facebook page here. I think it says, it's down about the fifth thing down. Pull up my Facebook page. I want you guys to see this. I want you to understand something. We're going to read down through some of these comments. Not a lot. I'm not going to give much time to it. But I want you to realize this. There isn't hardly anybody defending me. Now, I don't need defended, okay? I don't need defended. I'm not worried about that. I'm not doing it for these guys. Hey, these guys, the ticks on my back, they don't bother me. But you better realize that they do impact other people. That's why they are trolled. So somewhere along the line, when I mentioned violence, I said on the show last week, I was talking about from the days of John the Baptist until now. Let's go there, Jared, Matthew 11, because I'm going to make this very clear. See, they don't. Right Wing Watch, and I'm going to show you some stuff on them today. They're part of this cabal. Right Wing Watch likes to take what I say, encapsulize it, and make a big headline of it. And then that is a signal for the left to attack. That's how this game works, okay? So here's what we read the other day. And you can say whatever you want to. I said last week that America needs, I was quoting Michael Savage, said America needs a more violent Christianity. And then I went, you guys remember that show, you can go back and look at it. I went into the whole thing about what it meant to violate. And doesn't mean, I said doesn't necessarily mean physical violence, but to violate means to go into an area and take something that doesn't belong to you. That's what it means to violate, violence. To violate means to, see, can you be violated? Can you be violated without somebody doing something to you physically? Well, sure you can. Go to my Facebook page. Being violated all the time. And the other side is violent. That's how they operate. They are coming in and they are aggressively taking the kingdom. Not with guns and bullets. Not with that. However, how is the kingdom of Muhammad? How are they trying to advance theirs? How are they trying to advance their kingdom? Well, they're doing it by violence, right? Every in this physical world, guys, we cannot get away from the fact in this physical world that physical violence shows up. That is not the way that the Christian is supposed to respond to it. However, there is a time for war. It's in Ecclesiastes. There is a time to fight back. And it says it again right here in Matthew 11. Let's go there real quickly. Hey, Roger, I don't know if I'm preaching this to the lost or to the found. Because the found don't think you're ever supposed to fight. The found don't think so. Meantime, the left is slapping away and swinging away and kicking, and they're doing everything they can to bloody and beat me. I don't care about me. I'm not crying. They're doing everything they can. And what is the response of us? Pray for them. We just pray they get saved. Really? Really? It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard that, and that's John the Baptist, by the way, who was violent. He went to the king's wife and told her what she was, called her a slut, right? He was pretty violent. He didn't hurt her. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent to his disciples and said to them, John's in jail for the Lord. And he says, hey, man, I got to know, man. Are you the real deal? Are you the one, or should I look for another? Am I locked up here in jail for nothing? I'm about to lose my head for nothing. And Jesus answered and said, hey, listen, you guys, you go and show John again those things which you do hear and you see. You go tell John what's going on here. You tell him that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He's saying, listen, John, you guys go tell John that whatever price he's paid, it's worth it. You just tell him that it's not about him. He may not get what's going on, but let him know I'm the real deal. This is the real thing, and it may cost you a whole lot, But don't be offended, brother. You keep pushing forward. That's the message Jesus sent, right? And then as he's departed, he's just talking to these guys. He says, hey, listen, you guys go tell John this, okay? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to him, and blessed is he, John, who isn't offended because of me. And as he's walking away, he turns around as they departed. And he said, hey, boys, wait, one more thing. One more thing, boys. One more thing. What do you guys go out in the wilderness to see? A reed? Shaking in the wind? What'd you go out to see? A man's clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear that soft clothes, they're in king's houses. They're Republicans. So what'd you go out to see? A prophet? Yeah, baby. I say unto you, but this dude's more than a prophet. Why? For I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, hang on. Don't miss this. John the Baptist, specifically his cousin, specifically said to Jesus, hey, I got to know. I got to have some answers here, man. So John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, is in jail, about to lose his head. And Jesus doesn't even have the decency to go visit. Isn't that amazing? And then as he's walking away, he turns to everybody and says, oh, let me tell you something about John, though. So I'm not going to go visit John, but let me tell you something about him. And he just says what he just said. And look at this. Wow. The Lord just showed me that one. He said, he's trying to let you see that there's nobody more special than anybody else. He says, notwithstanding, verse 11, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He said, John the Baptist was my man, but he ain't no more important than you. And there are a lot of people that are going to die because of me, Jesus said, and I ain't got time to go visit them all. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to go into jail, and I don't have time to go visit them all. And I'm not going to go visit John just because he's my cousin, and just because we think he's better than anybody else, because he ain't better than anybody else. And what's going on with John's going to happen to a lot of y'all, all right? Remember this, that he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. And then stay here. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been violated. This says suffers violence, has been violated. And those who have been violated take it by force. Now, can somebody explain to me what that means? What does that mean? What's Jesus saying? Come on, somebody help me out here so it's not just always me getting in trouble. I'm just kidding. I don't care about getting in trouble. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been violated, and violent men take it by force. What is Jesus saying? I think he's saying, what? Boys, sometimes you're going to have to go fight for it.
For the truth to succeed, sometimes you have to put it out there in such a way that it violates others, and right. And puts them in a position where they have to make a choice.
That's right.
Dave,
yes.
Dave.
Yes.
The Last Supper, we have learned, he told them to sell their clothes and buy swords.
He did.
When Peter went into the garden, Peter was ready to fight for his Savior.
Cut off his ear.
That was taught to him, I believe. That was something he observed.
Roger. Hey, Roger. Roger, that's a great point. That's a great point. Because Peter had hung around with Jesus for quite a while, hadn't he? 3 years. He'd been hanging around him. And what was Peter's first reaction?
Drew the sword.
Violent. He drew that sword, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He drew that sword. Not in an aggressive manner, but in a defensive manner. The sword's always used, supposed to be used in a defensive manner.
So certainly,
go ahead.
He had not spent 3 years hearing pacifism.
He hadn't. There's no way, because he wouldn't even have had a sword, right, Roger, if it's all pacifism. Now, yeah. Folks, here, listen closely. You will never win a spiritual battle with physical action. All right? I didn't say that right. You will never win a spiritual battle with mere physical action. But you will also never win a spiritual battle without physical action. Show me your faith. Faith without works is dead. You will never be able to win a spiritual battle without some type of physical action. Never, ever. And we don't know what that physical action, that some of it may be laying down your life. Some of it may be just, you just lay down your life. That's a physical action. But some of it may be pushing back. We know about the dude that ran the spear. What was his name? Phineas. Ran the spear right through him. So, hey, Jared, go ahead and pull that back up there now, that my Facebook page, because I want you guys to get a flavor for what it is I'm talking to you about now. These people, our views skyrocketed this weekend because we started talking about the one thing that the devil's team doesn't want us to talk about, and that is pushing back. They want us to roll over and be nice little Christians and get our faces beat in. And now all of a sudden we've got all these Christian experts. See, Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, rule number 3, I think it is, could be wrong, one of them, is that in order to win, you make Christians live up to their own values. So these people on my Facebook page hate the Lord, yet they are quoting Scripture and using Scripture to try to make me live up to what they believe Christianity is about. I want you to watch this as we scroll down this. There's 66 comments on this. Look at Ron Schramm here. We ought to check out who Ron Schramm is. You listen this morning, Ron? Ron says, pretty sure Jesus wasn't a fan of religion and government being entwined. After all, it was the religious leaders that had him crucified. You know, Barabbas. Then Lori Ann comes in there. If you want to lead, serve. You don't push people out of the way. Give love, serve. That was Jesus' message. Not be more aggressive. Michael jumps in there. What's Milt have to say? I bet he's a good Christian guy, don't you? You watch this morning, Milt? I guess the word in Dave's head is different than the word in Lori's head. After all, God is just in everyone's head, no one else. Here he is giving us some advice. Bridget Sarbu. Hey, Bridget. More aggressive, like Jesus was meek and mild, just like terrorists are more aggressive. Yeah, many will say, Lord, Lord, and Jesus will say, I didn't know you. John Beer says, some people make world a better place while they every time, Jared, I appreciate you doing it. Every time he does that, I lose it. Some people make world a better place while they are here. Others make the world a better place by leaving it. You fall squarely in the latter camp. Jay Faird, he jumps in. Maybe it's time to start feeding so-called Christians like you, Dave Dipshit, to the lions. We would use all the lions from the circus. Lynn jumps in. Jesus wept because of disgusting, bigoted, xenophobic a-holes like you trading on his name to promote your own brand of disgusting hatred and intolerance. Lori jumps back in. Jacoba and Dunstone. Dave, your reading of the Bible is narrow. Thank goodness God is way, way wider than you. What is wrong is he is traveling in the wrong crowd. Milt jumps back in. Aggressive Christianity. Huh, Dave, you want to start a war? Do you see what they do, folks? See, those comments are not there for me to read. They're there for you to read so that your faith weakens. Do you understand how this game is played? Do you understand? And would you look down through there? Nobody defending me. Not me. Nobody defending the gospel. Nobody standing up and pushing back against these scumbags. Nobody. Why? Because we little Christians are back. See, in our heart, they agree. Well, she is talking about Jesus being peaceful and loving. Yes, and my pastor did say that one day. And that, you see where I am? See where I am? Understand, I'm not whining. I'm a big boy. That's why I put on my full armor every day. Why would you put your full armor on if you're not fighting? Why would you do that? I put on the helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, gird my loins with truth, shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel, peace, carry the shield of faith, wherewith I might smite all the fiery darts of the wicked one, above all the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I stand. I do that every day. I do that every day. Why do we think that we're going to win this war without them tackling us and blindside blocking and clipping us? They play without rules. We got to at least play. We don't do that. Can I show you what an impact we're having? I'm going to show you. I could read 66 of these things. They just bilge. And I want these people to know that it has no impact on me. If you're trying to influence me one way or another, hey, 10,000 give a craps. I could not care less what you folks out there say, okay? Sorry. And I'm going to tell you this. I got into this discussion. Some dude, huh? Jesus says, love your enemies. Okay, I can go for that. And I asked this good Christian guy in my email, tell me this. Where does it tell me to love his enemies? Can somebody find the scripture that says, love the Lord's enemies? Can anybody? Right now, there's your challenge. I'll be waiting for it. If you send me the scripture that says, Jesus says, love my enemies, love the enemies of God, you show me that and I'll love them. I will. But see, I won't get caught up into personal animus. I am to try to love my enemies. I am. My enemies, not the enemies of the cross. Somebody trying to jump in here? Because I got something else to show you.
Yeah, Coach, you know.
Welcome, Larry.
Jesus specifically defines your enemy or your adversary as those who are in your family. Those in your own household.
Your enemies shall be those of your own household. There it is, man.
There you go.
I hate it when you do that, Larry. I hate it. See, we're supposed to love ISIS, right? Huh? Okay, folks, if you guys love ISIS so much, why aren't you in Iraq? Why aren't you in Saudi Arabia preaching to them right now? Right now. Why aren't you going to the mosque every Sunday and preaching them if you love them so much? If you love them. See, I don't have any feeling about a Muslim. I don't even know Muslims. But I know their God is an enemy of my God. Am I supposed to love Muslims? What? I can love the individual Muslim. Oh, my goodness. How did we get so crazy in our thinking? Can somebody tell me that? How did we get so crazy? Now, I'm going to show you something else here. Jerry.
Nobody reads the Bible.
Nobody reads the Bible. Nobody. That's right. Well.
Or.
Yeah. Robert says those are the ones who go to Paula White's church. Yeah. So they can watch porn. And she had. Yeah. Go ahead, Roger. I'm sorry.
Nobody reads their Bible, but the vast majority of people who read the Bible do not believe it's the inherent word of God. They just don't believe it. So they don't want to follow it, and they won't follow it.
Jared, go back to that page again. I know I sent you someplace else. Go back to that page. Yeah, that's a lot. Jared went to that guy's. I like to go to these guys' home pages. You can find out. Some of them are just trolls. Hang on right there, Jared. Jared, let's... Eric Lee, do you see him down there, Jared, American flag? Look what Eric said. Hey, Eric, hope you're watching. Hope you're watching, Eric. Don the Con, we know where he is. Right? See, folks, well, how would these guys get on my web? How would they know to come and get on him? We'll show you. Hey, Crazy Davey, it's people like you who have made me realize that Christianity is the most hateful, violent group of people on earth. Watch out, karma will humble you. Ha, ha, ha. What do you bet he's a homo? Huh? Anybody want to bet he's a fudge packer? I'll bet you he is.
Huh? Can't even spell karma right.
Can't even spell karma. Hey, Steve says, hey, Dave, how's that more violent Christianity working out? 30-plus dead folks in Africa murdered by Christian militia. Problem isn't Islam or Christianity. It's religious extremists like you spreading a bastardized version of whatever faith that Christ or Muhammad themselves wouldn't recognize. Okay, so, hey. Where's the counterbalance here? Where's Christians defending me? Oh, that's right. I don't care. See, this is a public forum. Okay, Jared. Now, Jared, let's go to Right Wing Watch. Let me show you something here. Hey, guys, we're living in their heads, okay? Just type in rightwingwatch.org and look what's on the front page. This is part of the Soros connection. Dave Dobenmeyer, America needs a more violent Christianity. Now, guys, first of all, that's not what I said. I was quoting Michael Savage, and then I explained what violent meant. But look what happened. The last thing they want is Christians pushing back. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now let's do this, Jared, because this is even more amazing. Click read all, Jared. Click right there where it says read all. Watch what happened. Boom. Boom. Scroll down a little bit more. A little bit more, Jared. I want to show people. These, hey, folks, these are the ones who are, there it is. Dave Dobbin. Now look at this one. Look at this one. Put it, Dave, Jews are putting us into financial bondage. Okay. See, they like to take it. They like to take a snippet, pull it out of context. Click on that, Jared. Click on that. Now, Jared, scroll to the bottom of this page. You might also like, keep going. Look at all those that they have of us on that page. We're getting under their skin, boys. We're getting under their skin.
Coach.
And see what they don't realize. I ain't afraid of these dudes or these men who act like women. I ain't afraid of them. Those who can just attack with a pen like this, it doesn't bother me. But you better wake up and understand what's going on, because see, the average guy doesn't have the courage to push back against this slime. We get scared and we cower. If they said this stuff about some pastor, he'd be in his pulpit apologizing the next Sunday. That's why we lose. Is that you, Larry? Jump in here.
Yeah, I know one of the commandments is thou shalt not covet. But boy, I do covet your attack from Right Wing Watch a little bit. I wish they thought enough that I was dangerous enough to make some comments about me. They must not have been to my Facebook page.
Amen. Well, you hang around here long enough, they'll get to you. They'll get to you. But you guys see what's going on? You see what's going on here, right? You get it? Yeah.
You notice, though, that what's invariably missing is they don't have a quote from Michael Savage on that page, because they know Michael Savage will come after him.
That's right. That's truth. That's the truth. But see, again, what happens? See, I begin hearing from Christians who have no discernment at all, that somebody sends this to them, and then the Christians have to correct them. See, this is how it works. These folks are skunks. They everything gets all over everything. They squirt and squirt and squirt. We still haven't figured it out. Okay? Cool. Anybody else? Go switch gears on you here. God, it's taking a half hour. I'm glad I got up this morning. I'm glad I get to talk about this stuff. I'm glad. Okay, well, let me shift gears.
Yeah.
What's that? Let's do it again, Lindell.
I said, thank God you're narrow-minded.
That's right, brother. So, hey, you know what the problem with you is? You aren't closed-minded. They say, oh, you're so closed-minded. Damn right. I ain't going to let that kind of crap get in my head. You can be as open-minded as you want to. I ain't going there.
Didn't Jesus,
I got the mind of Christ.
Narrow is the way?
He did, man. Be narrow-minded. Be narrow-minded. Okay. Now, Jared, before I shift gears, Jared, play this 2-minute clip on societal AIDS. I made this video back in January, just sitting out on my porch. It's only 2 minutes. I was sitting in my house, I guess. Just 2 minutes. Societal AIDS. Listen, multiculturalism is societal AIDS. And this is what they're trying to feed us. This is going on everywhere. Did you see that over in Manchester where those people got killed? Do you see how they fought back? Candles and teddy bears. That's our response. Candles and teddy bears. Like that's somehow going to make us feel good. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago? This is what would happen. A bunch of people would get killed. We'd have candles and teddy bears and flowers. And nothing would happen. Then they'd kill again. We'd have candles and teddy bears and flowers. And all we'd feel bad and we'd mourn and we'd cry. And then they'd kill a bunch more. And this is exactly the pattern. Because why? Ain't no resistance. 3-minute video. Societal AIDS. Go ahead, Larry.
All right, Jared. To you today here on Monday afternoon. I want to send out a little bit of a warning to what's going on here in America in regards to the immigration and the control of illegals coming across the border. Donald Trump needs our help right now, folks. You better hear me. We're dealing with what I call cultural AIDS.
This is in January.
Cultural AIDS. We're being destroyed from the inside out by a virus. And what is that virus? Virus is multiculturalism. And here's what we're faced with today. the Muslims coming over the border, the Mexicans coming over the border. I don't have any problem with the individual people, but here's what we better realize. They don't share our values. Muslims don't share American values, Christian values. Mexicans do, but they don't understand America. Many don't even speak the language. All you have to do is look over what's going on in Europe and understand that Europe is lost. Germany's lost. London, England has a Muslim mayor. Hey, it's time for Christian men in particular. I don't know what's happened to the Christian men across America, but it's time for Christian men to stand up and begin to push back and defend this nation. You better hear me. The Muslims, according to the latest statistics, are out reproducing white Americans about 8 to 1. 20 years from now, you will not recognize the United States of America. This great Christian nation will no longer be a Christian nation through the sheer process of reproduction. Listen, Donald Trump needs our support to close those borders. If we don't, we're going to wake up, as Thomas Jefferson said. We're going to be living on a continent that our fathers founded and we don't even recognize. What's wrong with us? Why is it that we respect the values of other people and other cultures more than we respect the values of our own?
Boy, bingo, coach. Home run, coach. Home run, coach. They're overrunning us. We can believe it or we cannot believe it. We're going to push back. We're not going to push back. Don't know what else to say. Somebody jump in there while I shift gears again. Anybody? Societal AIDS. Destroys the set. It's a virus. It destroys the society from inside out. Yeah, Roger.
I'll jump in as you're getting your thoughts and moving forward. It is so puzzling to me. You said something. We respect everybody else's culture that's coming into our country. But yet, even the pagans won't fight for our culture. Even if you take Christianity out of the picture, they won't fight for the culture that this nation arose from, and this nation has prospered under. You know, capitalism is a dirty word, but yet the only thing that takes the impoverished out of poverty permanently is capitalism. It's the freedom one. It's the freedom mechanism. We don't believe in it. Their culture Amen. Is better. Socialism, their culture is better.
That's where we are. That's where we are. And so think about this, guys. Black power, black pride, gay pride. What happens if you have white pride? What if you have Christian pride? What happens? When you get attacked from your own side, Christians aren't supposed to be proud. That's not even the point, dummy. That's not even the point. We should be proud of our heritage. We should be. Now, are you smart enough to wake up and understand that everybody else is allowed to be proud of their culture and their heritage? Everybody else, every other ethnic group, but not us, we're not allowed to be. Now, see, some of you are very uncomfortable right now because you think I'm talking race. You think I'm talking white supremacy and race. Come on, how stupid are you? How programmed is your brain that you would even begin to think that way? I become speechless. I'm proud. Proud to be a white man. Yeah.
You know, coach, it seems the problem is that the enemy never rests, but the Christians do. The Christians rest often. The enemy never
all the time.
Rests.
All the time that we rest, George. Mm-hmm. Right. We make it, we're on spiritual welfare. Christians are. We pray and we hire mercenaries called Republicans to do our fighting for us.
Christians don't protect themselves. They don't watch what they want. They don't keep an eye on their eyes on what they're seeing. And they watch, they don't put a cover over their ears for what they're hearing. So those are the two ways things come into us immediately. And so our mind is confused. And most Christians don't know what way to think, because they have been dumbed down to just accept whatever they see and hear from somebody that seems to be an authority and knows so much about everything, and yet knows nothing about what life is
about. And Mike, they need Jesus.
Amen.
Huh? America needs Jesus.
Amen.
And we're afraid to give it to them. Is that you, Sarge? Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly what Mike was just saying, and going back to Larry's comment about the enemy right in our own camp. I mean, I had relatives up for the weekend, and I got into a huge battle with my nephew. He is so brainwashed from his college liberal professors. You know, he's at a point, he has no understanding of Judeo-Christianity culture from this government. He doesn't even know for sure that Jesus is a real person, and it's debatable whether he even walked the earth. So I'm telling myself, how can you even get past this idea that you can talk about Christianity when in fact they're so brainwashed that they have no Christianity because they can't even recognize that Jesus was a real person?
Hey, Sarge, here's a question we ought to ask ourselves. Who's been the better evangelist? Who's operated better evangelistically? Christians or God haters? We're seeing our children being stolen by God haters. We're not finding very, very many Christians winning God haters. Go ahead, Sarge. I'm sorry.
They're already been stolen. We've lost the generation. Now, our battle, as Larry has eloquently said, is in our own households to help save the souls that are already lost.
Man, brother, I'm telling you, man. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Got something to show you here. I want to shift gears just a little bit, because I'm always looking for, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, edgy stuff. Edgy. Because I'm telling you, we will not win the culture without edgy. We're not going to. Truth and edgy. Edgy truth. That's why, in my mind, the whole idea of studying and discussing of the Nephilim and MK Ultras and Tuesdays with Russ is to make Christianity exciting. So we understand that Christianity is what goes on outside the church building, not what goes on inside it. And that we're in a real war, a real cosmic war. And because our Christianity is so bland and boring, oh my goodness. And we're trying to compete with this modern society and this modern culture. Turn on the Christian radio. Roger, turn on WRFD and listen to the bland old Christian preaching programs that they have on there. Is it any wonder we're losing the culture? See, we have Christian radio simply for Christians to listen to. The lost ain't listening to it. It's my heart's desire. Lord, give me a show where I'll have such an impact. The right wing watch will be watching every day. Oh, wait. We already have one of those. Lord, open it up so I can be on terrestrial radio, so that I can go on a secular radio station and aggressively defend the gospel of Jesus. Lord, put me on secular radio to do that, not Christian radio. My goodness. We got to go where they are. So I want to tell you that because I want to introduce you to somebody today. Some of you know of him. Some of you never heard of him. Jared, click on, it says bio. A guy named Trey Smith. Talking edgy Christianity here, folks. Edgy Christianity. Now, you guys all heard of Mike Murdoch, haven't you? Mike Murdoch with his financial ways to get rich and all that, a big evangelist. Well, Trey Smith, this is amazing. I'm going to give you a little background, then I'm going to play something of Trey Smith. Trey Smith grew up with Mike Murdoch's son. They were best buddies. And he knew Mike Murdoch, what Mike Murdoch was all about, and saw Mike Murdoch was getting rich, yada, yada, yada. So Trey Smith broke into Mike Murdoch's house and stole his safe. That's a picture of him there, still in the safe. 1999, I think it was. He carried that safe out with like $1 million in the safe. And he ran to Mexico with it. He didn't really want the money. He just didn't like Mike Murdoch, knew Mike Murdoch, thought Mike Murdoch was ripping people off. So Trey comes in, steals all the money and runs over the border with it. Well, they end up catching him. They put him in jail. He finds Jesus in jail. Trey Smith finds Jesus in jail. And now he is producing these absolutely unbelievable, edgy videos. I watched about three of them this weekend. I'm telling you, man. Yeah. What's that? What are you holding up there? Look at that. I just ordered them myself. Guys, I'm going to, all of them are long. All of his videos are long, but I want you to watch about 5 minutes of this and see how captivating he is. And imagine, Roger, if you could get those kids that you teach in Sunday school, you could get them at home to start watching these hundreds of YouTube videos that Trey Smith is producing. This one is on evolution. What's the name of it? Evolution, Modern Myths, 100 Ways to Kill Darwin's Evolution. Now, he gives you this great biblical truth, but it's his presentation that is so captivating. All you got to do is just Google, go to YouTube, type in Trey Smith. Trey Smith, they're everywhere, his videos. Let's watch about 5 minutes of this.
There is no topic throughout all of science itself that stirs more little emotions and feelings and political agendas than the topic of evolution. Slip short lunchbox answers to the very questions that matter most. The very same questions, incidentally, that one would ask if they woke up in a ditch. Who am I? Where did I come from? What happens next? A lot of opinions out there concerning evolution, but this is what I believe. I believe that you have the right to look at the data yourself so that you can make your own decision. I'm Trey Smith. You're watching a portion of the DVD, The Theory of Everything. Welcome to the Evolution Test.
Pause that a second, Jared. There's his website, godinanutshell.com. Do you see how captivating he already is? And this guy does great research. Continue it, Jared.
So, right from the beginning of this thing, we're going to give evolution some really, really big head starts, beginning with the universe itself. At first glance, the universe can sort of look like maybe it's a random place, but in fact, we have known for a long time now that the universe is very far from random. This is commonly termed as the anthropic principle. In fact, more than that, if you were to really look at the physics of this place, you would find 1% off this way, 1% off that way is a bad, bad thing. You and I would not be talking at all. Anthropic means that it has to be exactly the way that it is for us to exist. More than that, when it comes to, say, the cosmological constant, you wouldn't even find an atheist physicist who would tell you that they believed that one was accidental. The fine-tuning of the universe is not a little bitty issue. But nonetheless, we're going to start with the whole package. Evolution gets the universe, the whole construct, and shebang with all of its precision from the beginning for free. And within the inside of that universe. We're throwing in the Earth as well. Don't worry about that big number there and all of those impossibilities. We're tossing it into the package for free for evolution as well. Evolution does also appear to defy entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, that things decline over time. We see species go extinct. We don't have one recorded example of a new species ever becoming, but we do have plenty of examples of species going away. The dinosaurs would be an example of that. When I say species, I mean an entirely new kind of creature emerging to become. So it violates entropy, but don't worry. We're going to go ahead and give evolution a free pass on that one as well for the purpose of this. It is true that evolution also violates biogenesis, which states, of course,
okay, Jared, you can pause that there. Jared, do me a favor right now. If you can reduce this down and just pull up the YouTube page of Trey Smith, because I want people to sit there right down there on the side, Jared. I want you all to see the unbelievable number of videos that he has. Noah, demons, Jurassic Park, the theory of everything. Noah, the truth is bigger than you thought. The Genesis theory, aliens, UFOs, demons. This guy is so captivating. Remember, we have to be edgy. We have to be edgy. And so we need to begin to introduce this kind of edginess to the kids. When they get in and they watch him and the way that he operates and the research and the study and everything that he puts into it. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Fellas, there is no reason why we're losing. No reason. So, brother, you got those videos? Have you been following Trey Smith? He's frozen? Is he frozen up on me? Anybody else watch Trey Smith? Sarah's got Trey Smith. She's waving Trey Smith. Oh, man. Sarah says they own many of them. I just ordered some. I just ordered some. Got the one on the Nephilim. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. My goodness. He did one. Hey, listen, if you really want to see one that's going to validate for you, I wish I had time to show it. How much time do I have here? I don't. Go to Trey Smith's webpage and see the video he made of October last year, 2016, just before the election. There they are, Enoch. Just before the election, Trey Smith made a 30-minute video on Hillary and Donald Trump and the demonic protection that Hillary Clinton had and what exactly was going on. I watched it last night. This wasn't an after-the-event thing. This was done in October saying, here's what's going on. You better wake up from a spiritual standpoint. Oh, my goodness. Edgy, edgy, edgy. Trey Smith has millions of followers, and I'm going to try to get him on our show. Would that be something to get him on our show? All right.
Hey.
Yes.
Yeah, you should be able to get him. He's good friends with both Pastor Casper McLeod and L.A. Marzulli. So,
I know. Oh, and he's one of the books, I'm going to tell you, that's going to bother a lot of you. One of the tapes that you got that I've just ordered and Sarah was holding up, and I believe Michael has, is the Book of Enoch. He says the most clear, there it is, Sarah's holding it up, the most clear exposition, description of the Book of Enoch and what it all meant. It's edgy. We have to be edgy. Would some of you admit that you watch this show because we're edgy? Would some of you admit that you watch this show that for the first time in your life, something inside of you is coming to life? Something inside of you has laid dormant because there's an edginess to what we do. So edgy that we seem to have our own page on Right Wing Watch. Huh? That's a medal, isn't it? That is a medal. So Roger, do that. Trey Smith and others that are watching, get that information to young people that they would begin to watch Trey Smith videos because it's not preachy stuff, man. It's all good. Hey, coming up, don't forget, June 18th and 19th, the boot camp we're having. 16 already signed up. We're trying to cut it off at 30. And here's what scares me. June 16th. I'm sorry. June 16th and 17th. Thanks, Sarge. And here's what scares me. Some of you watching right now think I know you're coming, and I don't know you are. And we're filling up. We're getting new people. Is this unbelievable? We're getting new folks they're going to come and be part of it. Somebody said, well, can women come? Yeah, we found out there's a dorm down there for women. Women can come as well. We're going to do it. Right wing is going to really be mad at us because we're going to go to the Homo Pride Parade and going to love them to death. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. We got some good weather here in Ohio. Going to spend some time with my family. The skunks are gone. Drain your own swamp. Be careful who you hang out. My mommy always told me, you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.